Up next, a frank conversation about how to share your faith with a Jewish friend. You'll love Greg Sabbat's advice, his stories, his humor. That's all ahead on Moody Radio's The Land and the Book. There's nothing better than talking to an expert about a challenge you're facing. Someone who's been through it. Someone who doesn't just read blogs and watch YouTube videos, but somebody who really knows. And that's especially true when it comes to sharing our faith. Many of us get sweaty palms just thinking about it. This is The Land and the Book. I'm John Gager, inviting you to join me in taking a chill pill on this issue as we connect with Greg Sabbat. Greg has worked with Jews for Jesus and Chosen People Ministries. With 22 years of Jewish evangelism experience, he's met people with all kinds of objections to Yeshua. Greg has also written about his personal journey to faith in the book, From Tradition to Eternity. Currently, Greg serves as director of Jewish evangelism for a ministry called Rock of Israel. He's here to share with us ideas that have worked for him in over 22 years of ministry. Greg, you know, when you and I were emailing back and forth to set up this conversation, I was struck by the humility of one of your comments. You wrote, "I do not claim to know from Mount Sinai, but this is what has worked for me." Hey, I love your honesty and humble stance. Thank you.
Well, it's true, John. Like, I would love to tell you there's an A, B, C in salvation, but this is stuff that has worked for me in my 22 years, but somebody might feel led by the Holy Spirit to do something different. And I'm just telling people, being in ministry and around Jewish evangelists, this is what's worked for me. But if the Holy Spirit leads you to do something else, these are not from Mount Sinai. These are just my suggestions.
Right. Well, let's start with an important foundational question. What do most, if it's fair to use that word, most Jewish people think about Jesus?
Well, usually they don't think a lot. We're told that, you know, Jesus is not for us. When I grew up, I thought Mr. and Mrs. Christ had a kid named Jesus. All my friends were Italian Catholics, so when I went over their house, it looked like Jesus was Al Pacino. But some Jewish people believe he's a good teacher, a prophet. And so if a prophet is always right in the Old Testament, some Jewish people say he's a good teacher. And I like to point out, you know, if he's a good prophet and teacher, why don't you listen to what he said? In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us all." Or something like John 11:25, "I am the resurrection life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever believes in me will never die." So if you think he's a good teacher and he's a prophet, well, listen to what he had to say.
Yeah. All right, next question. Should I say the Hebrew name for Jesus, Yeshua, or does that make me sort of like I'm trying to be something I'm not?
Well, I don't think so. But John, I find that most Jewish people don't know the name Yeshua, and they know Jesus. And so I always like to use the word Jesus. And it's just something about this name. When I was in high school, I had a crush on a girl, and she took me to a youth group, and they always sang songs about Jesus, and I made a deal with God. I won't sing the name of Jesus, so I could go to this youth group, this Christian youth group, to be around this girl. But one night, they were singing a song, and it had such a beautiful melody, and I sang about Jesus, and I felt that God loved me, I wasn't right with God, and somehow Jesus was the way that I was getting close to God. And you know what the song was? Your listeners might know of it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hmm. There's just something about that name. So I think God has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Greg Sabbat loves to share his faith. He serves as director of Jewish evangelism for a ministry called Rock of Israel. He's here to share with us ideas that have worked for him in more than 22 years of ministry. Greg, I'm guessing that how we say what we say is critical. So, what type of attitude and posture do you present to your Jewish friends? And what should we maybe be cautious about?
Well, I try to be humble and let them know that I'm sharing with love and concern and how much Jesus means to me. But we need to be very careful, John, of what I call Christianese. It's a language that we use that no Jewish person understands. Sanctified, blood of the Lamb, born again, you know, sanctified. We don't know this. Jewish people know atonement, Messiah, redemption. So a lot of times we're witnessing to Jewish people, And they really don't have any idea what we're talking about because we use this comfortable language that's used only in-house.
So what's the answer then?
Well, try to make it as Jewish as you can to use the terms redeemer, atonement. Always try to use the Old Testament as well. And I really encourage a Christian to say to their Jewish friend, would you take me to temple on a Friday or Saturday morning and I'll take you to church? The Christian will love the temple. They'll have lots of questions. Mm-hmm. And the Jewish person will go to church, but I just make sure you talk to your pastor. That's not a tithing message. And maybe bring them to something about if the pastor's teaching about the Old Testament. And afterwards, you go out, you have lunch, you have coffee, and you have spiritual discussions. That's the best way to do it, I think.
I can hear a lot of people saying, me, invite my Jewish friend to church? I think they'd be nervous about doing that, or maybe they're convinced they would absolutely get a capital bold-faced no. What do you think?
You know, they might, but a lot of Jewish people, if you approach them and say, you know, Mr. Greenberg, I know you're Jewish and my pastor's teaching about this in the Old Testament, I would really like you to come and hear from your perspective because you're Jewish and, you know, maybe you might know about the Old Testament than I do. And if you use this to say, like, I would like your help, I would like your wisdom, it goes much farther than just, would you go to church with me on Sunday? So appeal to their pride, appeal to that you want to know more about what they believe. And it's honest because you want to hear what they think about the message and what they think about the scriptures.
Does my Jewish friend presume that I was born a Christian, the way being, you know, born by Jewish parents makes you Jewish?
Yeah, I used to think that most Jewish people think that they're Jews and everybody else. And there really is no difference between Billy Graham and Billy Idol. And I like to, when you're talking to Jewish person, let them know that you're a Gentile and there was a time in your life that you came to believe and repent and put your faith in the Messiah, that you just weren't born Christian. Because, you know, in Judaism, you're born by Jewish parents, that makes you Jewish. But if you're a Gentile, you have to come to faith and believe in what Jesus said and did, and he died and he rose from the dead.
So you really do want to tell your unsaved Jewish friend how you personally came to know Messiah.
Yeah, and it's great to share your testimony and what God has done for you. In this postmodern age, John, I found that a lot of people, they really want to hear, you know, what's your experience? Mm-hmm. And if you can share how you came to faith and what God has done in your life, you will make Jewish people jealous. I have so many Gentile people tell me that they talk to their Jewish friends about Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, and Hanukkah, and they know so much more about those holidays than their Jewish friends because of their knowledge of the New Testament.
Hmm. How would I describe to the unsaved Jewish person what I believe in a Jewish context?
Well, I think if I had one shot, I would go to Isaiah 53. And the reason is that in Judaism, on the Friday night, on the prophet's writing, they'll go Isaiah 51, Isaiah 52, whoops, they go to Isaiah 54. Now, a very famous rabbi in the 20th century, Moses Montefiore, said that the reason we do not read Isaiah 53 is because it sounds too much like Jesus. And I'm going to quote the great theologian Ronald Reagan, "If it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck." And many times, John, I read Isaiah 53, written 750 years before Jesus was born. And after I read it to them, Jewish people say to me almost 100% of the time, "Is that from the Gospels? Is that Paul guy?" Because it's so clearly talking about the Messiah. He is pierced for our transgressions. He's crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And that's just Isaiah 53:5. You read the whole chapter, and you can't get away from it. That's not Jesus.
Our guest today, Greg Savitt, has met people with all kinds of objections to Yeshua. He's equipping us today with tools that have worked for him in real conversations. Greg, I'm going to give you the floor and just take me to any conversation you've had in the past that's memorable to you in sharing your own faith.
I've had a conversation with Jewish people, and I say, "How have you atoned for your sins?" And they say, "Well, on Yom Kippur, we fast 25 hours, and we go all day to the temple." But then I share with them that how the whole sacrificial system in the temple and how it said in Leviticus 17:11, God said to Moses, "For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." And then I ask, why in Brooklyn, on the Day of Atonement, the sect of Judaism, ultra-Orthodox, why do they take a chicken and swing it around their necks? And this is what they pray, John. Listen to this. "This is my expiation, the removal of guilt through the payment of the penalty that sacrificed God's wrath and justice." Then they snap the chicken's neck and blood goes everywhere. Now, why are they doing this if, according to most Jewish people, your sins are atoned for by fasting? It's because of Leviticus 17:11. John, they know in their kishkas, in their guts, that there has to be the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. So that's what I like to go to about atonement. Because on Yom Kippur, I know my name is written in the Book of Life through Jesus. My Jewish people don't know. They sit there 8 hours a day, 8 hours in temple. They're banging their chest with their hands for sins. They're fasting. They have a headache. They have caffeine headaches. And I know, just through my faith in Messiah, that my sins are forgiven.
What about sharing from the New Testament? Is that okay, or is that generally a bad idea?
Yes, yes, and yes. It's interesting. There was a survey done several years ago, and they discovered that 75% of Jewish people that have come to faith in Jesus was from the witness of a Gentile using the New Testament. A New Testament is a Jewish book for Jewish people. It's written by everybody who is Jewish, with the possible exception of Luke. But I think, Luke was a doctor, so I like to think there's a good chance that he might be Jewish. So you are encountering a Jewish book for Jewish people. And, John, I remember just reading the New Testament in red letters. And I tell you, I was jealous. Why didn't we come up with red letters, the Jewish people? But I remember those red letters, they were flying off the pages into my soul. A lot of Jewish people come to faith by just hearing the Jewishness of Jesus, what he said, what he did, how he predicted his death, burial, and resurrection. So I would not feel shy about sharing from the New Testament.
Here on The Land and the Book, we're connecting with Greg Sava today. He serves as Director of Jewish Evangelism for Rock of Israel. What's the best way for the Jewish person to interact with the text that we're sharing with them? How do you guide them?
Well, I like to always have, if you interact with them, I like to have the Bible or you have it on your phone. And I like to give the text to the Jewish person. And then I like to ask them to read the text and tell me what it thinks. Now, a lot of times, Jewish people will give their own opinion, their own convictions. And I say, no, Mr. Cohen, what does the text say? And John, if I have them interacting with the text and the person, not an argument, that is a huge battle but won. Because if they're starting to grapple with the scriptures and not me, there's power in the word and it does not come back void. So that's, I always try to get the Jewish person to actually read it and interact with the text.
All right, how do I know when to end a conversation with a Jewish person?
Well, there's a quote, "Jewish people are like everybody else, only more so." A lot of times Jewish people, they get animated and they're passionate and they're not absolutely upset. But when they start to really yell, I try to say to them, "Could you please lower your voice? I really want to hear you, but I can't hear you when you're yelling." But if they continue yelling, you stop the conversation. I also stop the conversation when they ask a question. I give the answer, and they fire back a question that they didn't even hear my answer. I feel like I'm talking to my teenagers. You just say something, and they, "What about this? What about that?" Then I know, to stop the conversation. Now, this is going to sound contradictory, but I stop the conversation, actually, when it's going well. Because I want to stop that. I want them to think on that. I want them to contemplate it. I'm a boxer. I want to get in a couple of jabs because I want them to absorb what we just said. John, I have to tell you that I go to services on Sunday. I don't remember Monday what the pastor preached on. We can only absorb so much information, and it's just like filling a cup of water. You just want to do it a drop at a time. And sometimes Gentiles get so excited, they're going to throw the kitchen sink at the Jewish friend. They could think he's open. He is open, but he cannot, he totally can't absorb everything. And also, never argue with a Jewish person. Make it a discussion. John, I don't know. I've never seen anybody argued into the kingdom of God. I've never been in an argument with a Jewish person. They say, oh, yes, Greg, you're right. What must I do to be saved? It's always a discussion with respect and a dialogue.
Boy, what a conversation this has been. And Greg, I know there is so much more in your heart, so much more you'd love to share with us. We're going to have you back, and we'll talk further with you. Greg Savitt, he has met people with all kinds of objections to Yeshua. He shared Jesus, and he is today Director of Jewish Evangelism for Rock of Israel. Thanks for your time, Greg.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.
Coming up on The Land and the Book, we've got a whole lot more coming your way. It's questions and answers with Charlie Dyer. Maybe yours is one of them. Then later on, he returns with a devotional, a place in Scripture with a place in Israel. He'll nail the two together. All ahead on The Land and the Book.